You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 9 December. We've got local consumer confidence data due 10 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Jimmy Muyaha. SPA results, I mean, were they good or were expectations low? Because the market put it higher. And the apps update, apps are added things looking up there for our lagger bank. We're going to be chatting with Head of Insights at PNet. Local tech jobs, demand returns after 3 years of weakness. Nisha Hatia, Director at TransUnion Africa. Local automotive market, it's an 11-year high. And inflation in vehicles has all but vanished. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Bidcorp, a contrarian call. Group's share price is down 8% over the last year, not due to performance, but because market attention has shifted. Business Day, Eskom throws ferrochrome producers a lifeline. Sector relieved as Eskom forms memorandum of understanding with Glencore and Samancor. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.35%, NASDAQ off 0.25%. The East is mixed. We got Sydney 0.1% higher, Tokyo 0.25% higher, Hong Kong almost 1% weaker, and Tencent down 0.5%. Commodities mostly red. Gold futures 4,225. Brent 6,235. Platinum 1,663. Palladium is the green 1,515. The rand is 1,704. Bitcoin 90,200. And top 40 expecting a red open, about 365 points or 0.33% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Muyaha. Jimmy, let's kick off with that ABSA update. We've seen updates coming from all the big banks. There was nothing thrilling about it. I mean, they're talking, you know, in most cases, you know, high single digits of growth and the like. Certainly impairments improving. What struck me about it was perhaps there was nothing to worry about in it. It was just kind of boring, which is not bad for banks.
Morning, Simon. I couldn't agree with you more. I read the update. I was looking for something. I was looking to see why you would put out a voluntary update. And I mean, this was one of those updates where you're saying to the market, guys, it's business as usual. We're going to continue in the manner we have been. And I suppose for markets that have gone through some volatility, that have gone through some tough times, that have gone through some changes, perhaps that is a good thing to be able to say to the market, everything on our side, the ship is steady. On our side, things are looking good. Mm-hmm. I did note that alongside that credit impairment ratio that you touched on, they also revised their guidance from a long-term return on equity perspective. So that medium to long-term view, we haven't seen too many forecasts from companies of late, especially with everything that happened in the pandemic. We're starting to slowly start to see that filter back into SENS announcements and global announcements from companies where they start to forecast, okay, all things remaining as they are, this is how we see things beyond the next financial year. So perhaps that was more of what the guidance was around. Either way, the market received that quite positively, and I suppose that's what you can expect, or that's what you want to see from financial institutions, mm-hmm. the fact that consistency will prevail.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then SPA, and I got to say, I read the results and I thought to myself, yeah, I don't know, these are not brilliant. The market disagreed with me and put the stock up higher. Was I wrong, or was perhaps expectations very low? What did you take of the numbers?
So I think there were three things that stood out for me there, right? It was the conclusion around the European exit, mm-hmm. the exit out of Switzerland and Poland. That was the one. The second was the SAP update and the implementation of that. That's still something that they're dealing with. That's a monkey that's been on their back. Something I spoke to the chief financial officer about as well, around how they're managing that. And the third was the pet business. Yeah. We saw this with Woolworths. We saw this with the Checkers group or the ShopRite group, where the retailers branch out into the pet side of things. And SPA's pet model is very interesting compared to their competitors, and we can get into that another time. But I think from a market perspective, when you're looking at those three things, the things that have plagued SPA were the first two, the European exit and the SAP implementation. And to get an update that, you know what, we finally resolved one of those issues and we're in the process of resolving the other, I think part of what you're saying around the market having low expectations is very right, is the market had priced in all of these things in prior reporting cycles, and they weren't really happy with the way that SPAR handled the issues, and we saw that reflected in the share price in prior reporting cycles. So to now come back to the market and say, hey guys, we've got this under control, we're dealing with this, especially with the cost that came from that SAP implementation, probably the most expensive SAP implementation we've seen in many companies' histories. But I think nevertheless, the market came into this particular reporting period saying, we know everything we need to know about SPAR. We know they've exited Poland and Switzerland. We know how much of a loss they took. We're just happy that they've wound down that process and that they're moving on. So perhaps the market was crediting them for coming back to their old selves. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to compete in the current local market with what the local market looks like now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then now you've got to go up against ShopRite, you've got to go up against Boxer, and of course the turnaround at Pick and Pay. It's a tough space out there, but I do take a point on what the market looked for and what the market was liking. Jimmy Mwaha, we'll leave that there. Appreciate the early morning poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. SPAR good for your portfolio? Have your vote, have your say. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Paul Byrne. He's head of insights and consumer success at PNet. The PNet job market trends report for November 2025 just come out. Before we dive into some details, how do you compile this data? This is directly off the site. In other words, it's pretty much live data.
100% correct, Simon, and thank you very much for having me. Our data is straight from the website. We operate a couple of platforms here in South Africa, but this specific report is done for PNet. So utilizing that data and looking at both what's happening on the job seeker side of the equation, which is people coming on and registering their CVs into our database. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, we are looking at the recruiters, both recruitment agencies and companies that are looking to recruit skills here in South Africa, and just what kind of jobs that they are advertising.
And one of the standouts is that after a tough couple of years, tech jobs in South Africa are bouncing back.
They are. They certainly are. And what our data is showing us this year is, this month at least, is that year on year, those tech jobs are up 18%.
Wow.
And yeah, even month on month, if we look at what's happened over the last month, it's 10% up on the previous month. And that would be then September versus October of this year. So generally, some really impressive growth that we're seeing within the tech sector at the moment.
And this is not a sort of flash in the pan. I mean, reading through the report, this trend has been going for I said up front, it's been a tough 3 years, but we could argue that the trend actually bottomed a couple of months ago and has sort of been edging higher.
Yeah, our data, Simon, is showing there's about 5 months of these trends of the increase. Mm-hmm. But overall, sort of the whole year in actual fact has been positive. But really, we started noticing it about from the data that we're looking at from 5 months ago. And I think it's quite pressing. You know, before that, we had had such an acceleration during COVID times where there was such demand for tech skills, we just couldn't get enough. I suppose the question is, can anyone get enough tech skills these days? But then it definitely sort of slowed down quite considerably as there were significant tech layoffs around the world. You know, Google, Microsoft, Tesla, TikTok, Meta, a good number of tech companies laid off tens of thousands of tech staff. And we definitely felt the impact of that here in South Africa, and suddenly sort of that whole demand slowed. So it is really positive to see that turnaround again. 5 months of positive tracking, it's a good way to end the year.
And it's interesting that we do, and I suppose it does make sense. I mean, we always think of ourselves here in the sort of the southern tip of Africa kind of being isolated, but it does, to what you're saying, this was a tech's been under pressure globally, and we suffered from it as well. And maybe tech is probably one of those sort of more international jobs, or, you know, you can kind of take your skills anywhere, but there is correlation.
There is definitely correlation. And I think it's such an important point that you make about that ability for tech skills to be able to perform anywhere. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, in other data that we've recently released into the market, we could see that within the tech space, generally speaking, it has the highest volume of remote type opportunities within the country. So we're looking at sort of about 13% of all tech jobs are remote orientated. And therefore, we'll definitely feel the impact of some global layoffs because that will impact us locally.
Yeah, that is a chunky number. What were the top of the list? What tech jobs in particular were in demand?
At the top of the list, I've got four that were really outstanding in terms of what they've delivered. And at the top of that list are your business analysts, 102% increase in demand over this period, followed by your data scientists, analysts, your data warehouse specialists. And I don't think there's any surprise there. You know, we, on an ongoing basis, reading on what's happening in terms of our world of work and the way that we engage with technology, it's all about data these days, isn't it? So it's, yeah, again, not surprising that it's up significantly like that at 48%. And then your systems and network administrators up 38% in demand, and your software developers 34% up in demand, but that's off a rather large base already. So when we're looking across the country in terms of what are the most sought after tech skills, it actually is the software developers. So more software developers than anything else, but just in terms of recent growth has been the 34% increase in that demand.
And it does suggest, I mean, those numbers there are staggering. I mean, a doubling is absolutely wild. Obviously, the demand is there, but it also shows, again, the depth. You know, I think a lot of us think tech and we, I don't know, we think a sysadmin or someone making an app or doing some vibe coding, but it is so much more, and there is a lot of depth to the sector.
So much so. And I think if you just have to think about every aspect of our lives that tech is impacting these days, I have no doubt that demand is going to continue to surge, and certainly for the foreseeable future. You know, more and more companies are looking to how they start really understanding their data. I think many organizations are even yet to start that journey. So it's all about how do they collect it? What are they going to do about it? How do they then actually get some form of intelligence out of that data? And ultimately, you bring in that whole machine learning side of things. How do they get machines to actually interpret that data in a way that's meaningful for us as consumers or managers of business or whatever the case may be? So I think we still are at the starting end of things, to be honest. So I expect more acceleration in this space.
And then a last point, and it just suddenly occurred to me. I mean, you know, tech is not all just, you know, sort of Microsoft and everything. I mean, you know, a bakery's probably got some tech. This probably tells us something about the broader market as well.
Very much so. And again, I go back into looking at the broader market, whether it's medical, whether it is manufacturing, whether it is architecture, legal. There's an impact of tech in every one of our industries today. And yeah, that's why I'm pretty confident in that statement about just saying that there is still a lot to come.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Everyone has some tech. And if you are in there, it shows confidence. We'll leave it there, Paul Byrne. Ahead of Insights, Consumer Success, PNet, appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Yesha Hetia, Director of Research Consulting at TransUnion Africa. Yesha, appreciate the time. TransUnion's third quarter 2025 Mobility Insights report is out, looking at vehicle sales. A strong quarter for vehicle sales, best in over a decade, and perhaps even as good piece of news is that low vehicle price inflation. It really was a giant quarter for the sector.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks, Sam, and thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know, we say maybe the market is finally taking a break. We know in the last couple of years it's been quite taking quite a strain, hasn't quite recovered, you know, post-COVID, but this quarter has been really awesome. And yes, the inflation is at an all-time low, 1.5%. It's the lowest in almost 20 years, which is really, really good.
And is it? Are we seeing a lot of Chinese vehicles sort of coming to the fore? Certainly, anecdotally, I chat with likes of different you know, CMH and everything. They talking China vehicles. Is that coming through in the broader data?
Yes, it definitely is. If you look at the top 10, the top 15 vehicles sold, we can definitely see the Chinese brands creeping up in there. Their total share has grown to more than 15%. It was at least than 10%. A couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So they really are growing quite quickly. You know, South Africans do want value for their money, and the Chinese brands are delivering that. They've got modern features, stylish design, and there's good tech at prices that beat some of the traditional brands that we're seeing. So yeah, the growth has been massive, almost nine times faster than the rest of the market.
And you make a good point there. Value, we all like value, but the cars look good. The tech is real. I mean, this is in many senses a structural reset that's happening. It's probably happening in other markets too, but it's certainly happening in the South African market.
Yeah. 100%. We are seeing that reset, and that's the demand again coming from South Africans. We want affordable, feature-packed cars, and that is becoming the new normal, that demand of what South Africans are looking for. They are changing how they choose their price. You know, it's also about the technology that they get and the trust that they have within these brands. And so the brands do need to understand that they need to shift. They keep shifting to keep growing, and those that don't will unfortunately fall behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Does the report give a sense of who's buying in terms of perhaps LSMs, perhaps ages? I mean, or is it just general population?
No, so we do breakdowns. We have various other reports that do support this MIR, the one being a consumer pulse survey. We actually ask consumers in terms of what is driving your car buying entries, what kind of cars are you looking at? And we break that down into the different generations, and we can see that, you know, if we look at the Gen Zs and the millennials, they seem so much more eager to enter into the market. We see that they've been quite delayed in the last couple of years, but they're coming in. They're also looking worrying about their pockets, looking at affordability. And the other concept that's coming out specifically with the Gen Z and millennials is total cost of ownership. So doing the research, not just looking at what the car costs up front, what is the fuel consumption, what is the insurance, what is the maintenance, and all of these are playing into these car buying decisions that our consumers are making. We say knowledge is power, and 100% agree. Do the research, find out how it's going to affect your wallet, not just on day one, but in years to come.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not just the sticker price, it's all those other bits around it. Electric vehicles, perhaps we do non-ICE because, of course, there's hybrids and plug-in hybrids and the like. And I mean, in South Africa, this seems to still be very early days. Are we seeing increased interest in this space?
We do see increase of interest, very small amounts when you're talking about overall percentages. The bigger percentage still goes towards ICE, as you said, but there's a lot of factors that play into that, and the one is definitely affordability. We do find the price points of this electric vehicle slightly higher, but also infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know, you think about we call it range anxiety. You know, you're going to get in your car, you know how far you're going to get, or whether you're going to find a charging station along the way. But it's nice to see that certain brands are coming on board, and they are actually looking to build that infrastructure, especially on the longer roads and city hubs. So as that support grows and that range anxiety sort of reduces, we will probably see a bigger uptake of this EVs, because there's definitely interest.
Yeah.
People looking for that greener options. And again, that total cost of ownership coming down with the fuel savings.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a 4-hour drive next week, and I'm going to pass dozens of petrol stations. I need to start passing doubles of EV stations, and then we can talk. Last question, exports. They were high, 6-year high, and I have to say, I think that surprised many with the tariffs being thrown around, but our exports were actually strong in the third quarter.
Yes, it did bounce back. We did see the higher shipment numbers since the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's a confidence in the market, you know, also leveraging, I think, I don't know, maybe some of that tariff scare, you know, sort of brought forward some of the exports. But we did see that rebound. So overall confidence, you know, in the industry has gone up. Even dealer confidence has also climbed to its second positive reading for the year. So, you know, overall, both local sales and export performance, they're moving in the right direction, which we're very happy about.
Yeah, and I take the point. This was the quarter to end September, so there might have been some pull forward on those exports. We'll have a look, check in on Q4. We'll leave it there. Yisha Hatia, yes. Director of Research Consulting, TransUnion Africa. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, yesterday, Sanlam Private Wealth. We're talking around that 72 billion rand Netflix deal to buy Warner Brothers. Will it happen? Was it a bad deal? Trump has already said no. And Paramount has now launched a hostile offer for Warner Brothers. So things are going to get crazy here. But we asked you if it was a good deal, around 40% each said no. Worried around concentration, or only if no fee increase. Rest said, great content. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Financial stocks in 2026.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.